Hello, and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I'm glad that you're able to join me again for another week as we've been taking a look at what it really means for us to face some of the fears that we may have. After spending so much time looking at why God puts us through hard times, what God is doing when we go through hard times, now it's giving us a bit of a chance to say, how do we be proactive about when we look at our lives saying, God, where do I need refinement? And be willing to go where God leads us in that. We talk so often about hills and valleys and of life, or the seasons of life. No doubt after the past year, we've heard a lot of this. I've, for one, have used that term a whole lot. In this season, this is what is happening. And I think part of it is knowing that I use that term season because God promises that seasons will change. And so even when I use that term season, I know that there is hope in that, that if it is a rough season, I know God promises the seasons will change. But we've been saying, how do we take life where there are hilltops and the highs of the hilltops, and then but also the lows of the valleys? And how do we say we actually be proactive and say, let's go down into the valley and actually face our giants, face our fears? And this is where not only metaphorically, well, especially literally, David does this. And this wasn't just an analogy of something that Israel needed to do at that time. David literally went down into the valley to fight Goliath and to face one of Israel's biggest fears. Now, over the last couple weeks, we've been taking a look at how we should approach that fear. How do we go out and do that? And just as a quick review on this, we've taken a look at a few key things that come from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and that we can take away that help us grow stronger and strategies that allow us to face our giants. The first one is being able to identify your problem, which we saw, of course, with David and Goliath. And we need to be willing to acknowledge that we've got that problem and that we are going and that we know what our problem is. The other is making sure that you're prepared. And that's why the story of David is so good, is because here you've got the youngest of eight, a boy who'd been taking care of sheep while his three older brothers were on the battlefield. But everything that we learn about David is that he had really been prepared, and God had been preparing him for a moment such as this. We see even as he meets with Saul. And David says, listen, I've killed bears, I've killed lions, we're good. I've prepared for this. And the other thing, too, that we saw was that we can overcome pressure from others. And the big takeaway from that was that David arrived on day 40 of this whole process, and here's Goliath still boasting and cursing at Israel. And he decides to do something about it himself and not take the advice of others and do it their way. David says, I'm going to do it God's way. Now, where we finished off last week was kind of this very key spot, which is changing your perspective, right? This is David who after taking a look at this, most people were saying, how on earth am I going to slay this giant, right? He's too big to knock down. And David saw that he was too big. How could he miss? And that's what his philosophy had completely changed. And how he approached it versus how Israel had approached it. Israel approached it looking at defeat was imminent. David approached it saying, God's got this. And to be quite honest, this guy's a giant. How can I miss? How can I not miss him? So we have to ask ourselves about changing our perspective. Now, today we focus on kind of some two or three final key points here, which will help us take away what can sometimes be that paralyzing fear or that feel of hopelessness that we may be having as we start to face some of our fears. And where we find ourselves is in verse 43 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, which is saying, challenging us to proclaim God's name, right? God came closer, or when Goliath came closer to David and saw he was just a boy, this made Goliath very angry. And he despised him. And in verse 43, it says, "Am I a dog to you that you come to me with sticks?" And David's response is one that, again, we see, which means the God of power, Jehovah Sabaoth, right? And the commander of the heavenly hosts. And David is not afraid to proclaim God's name. And as we move into the next one, we see, though, that first in verse 26, verse 36, verse 45, verse 46, verse 47, all of those places, David invokes the name of God, and God being a God of power and an all-powerful God. Part of this is saying we need to be willing to proclaim the name of God to go ahead of us to help fight our battles. The other thing that we see is don't be proactive, don't procrastinate. Right? As we learned last week, if we decide to delay, we decide to deny what's going on in our lives. And David decided he had to do something about the problem that was there right then and now. And so he picked up something that he had that was very familiar, his staff and a slingshot. And then five smooth stones, and then went off to find Goliath. The stones, of course, were smooth because they'd fly in the air better. Some have wondered even why he chose five stones. That is an interesting question. I know that there are a lot of mantles back over fireplaces or on shelves. And I know that my dad is one of them that fits into this category that have been to the Elah Valley. And while they were there, went down to the river and found the four stones, and you can't see my air quotations when I say the four stones, that David didn't use, and found four smooth stones, put them on a little mount, and when the grandkids come over, says, "I found the four stones that David didn't use." But what I think we have here is kind of like a... And most commentators will say that the five stones, it can represent several different things. But most will say is like anything. When you're wanting to do something right, you want to choose the best possible thing. So David picked up five stones, and he chose the best out of that five, right, as he pulled them out of his pocket or out of his satchel. It's the same way when I look in my golf bag. If I pull out a golf ball that I clearly have not washed and is filled with dirt, I'm probably not going to use that one. I'll take the shiniest one, or sometimes one that has the four-leaf clover on it, hopefully. But although that doesn't seem to work. But that aside, we see David being proactive, right? He knew what he needed to do. He didn't delay. He went off, got five smooth stones, and was done with it. And as we look at this even further, we see that in David's eyes, God was the giant, and Goliath was this minuscule person. Remember, this is kind of coming back to this picture of perspective that we have. When we realize that God's view of the situation makes our problem look very small, it really allows us to hand it over to God. For David standing in front of Goliath, he was a giant. For him giving it over to God and God looking down on this situation, Goliath was this tiny little man that was not a threat at all. In fact, he was so confident in God as the commander of the armies of heaven that the Bible says he ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. He was eager to go meet Goliath and go fight Goliath. If you want to be victorious, then you must be willing to take the fight to the enemy. And in our jargon, we might say that kind of game on. You can't just sit back and hope it'll get better on its own. And with one stone from his sling, he slayed the giant. Do you know that this is the first time that we see here, as David enters onto the scene, that there's something so much different in this boy that God has put, or that has put his faith in God, so strongly in God. It reminds me of Isaiah 54, verse 17, which says, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you." What a great statement as we look at why we need to be proactive and not procrastinate. And we see even further that now this is something that is key in the book of Psalms, and we'll take a look more of this in depth. But if you be proactive, if you proclaim the name of God, then you also need to profess faith in the fact that God is the champion in this. Not my will, but his will. It's interesting. Goliath is called the champion in verse 4. The Hebrew word here actually means a man between, a middleman, or a mediator. He was just a representative of the Philistines. God's ultimate champion is Jesus, right? The son of David, who is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man is Jesus Christ." Jesus won the battle against Satan at the cross. Those who he represents join in that victory. And there are some actually pretty cool comparisons between David and Jesus as we come up to Easter, and we're going to see a lot and hear a lot of the story of the passion narrative of Jesus entering Jerusalem. But we know that there's a lot that is in common with David and Jesus. Both were born in Bethlehem. Both fought when their enemy was able to dominate through fear. Both were sent to the battlefield by their father. Both were rejected and scorned by their very own. Both fought a battle where victory was assured before it ever started. Both disarmed the enemy and rendered him powerless. There's a lot that is going on here. One of the great hymns, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," says it this way, and you probably know this if you've heard this song before, which most of us have. "Did we confide in our own strength, our striving will be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth," which we just saw, "the God of power, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." And I don't know if you've ever taken notice of just that, I mean, that phrase in there of "Lord Sabaoth" is his name, "from age to age the same," meaning that the God of David in this story of David and Goliath that we have here is also the God who's going to go before us in our valleys. He will win that battle. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, then Jesus is your champion. That means you are fighting battles that have already been won because Jesus triumphed over Satan. So have you. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan is still prowling around like a roaring lion, trying to strike fear in you. But we must remember that the right man is on our side. He has won the battle, that God is with us, Emmanuel. So as we've taken a look at this over the last 3 weeks, we see that there's several tactics and several ways in which things that we can employ to go and face our fears, from describing our problems, to making sure that we're prepared, to overcoming pressure from others and going where God is calling us, not where other people are trying to make us go, to changing our perspective, to proclaiming God's name, to being proactive, and to profess faith as God is the true champion. All of these things are going to help us, and we're going to continue looking at this a bit because I really believe that we need to be proactive, whether it is evangelism, whether it is discipleship, whether it is dealing with the fears in our life and some of the things that we struggle with. We need to be proactive about this. Allow God to be the champion. One of the things we see in the book of Psalms is that many of the different psalmists who go to God, in fact, almost all of the psalmists who go to God lamenting or wanting something, who are dealing with fear, who are asking for help, always follow the same formula. While they proclaim they name their problem, actually it's very similar to some of the things that we've got here. They describe their problem, and of course, just like us, they say what I would like done about it. Usually it's smiting the enemies or whatever it may be. But then they say something that is very reminiscent about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is saying, not my will, but yours be done. You know, take this cup from me, but I realize that I may want it for one thing, but God, your will be done in this. And that's something that the psalmists usually find themselves saying, listen, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to wipe them off the face of the planet, my enemies. But God, whatever you want, I know will be the right thing. But one key point in the Psalms is, the very end, they will almost always say, God, if you answer this prayer, I will proclaim your name in the courts. Meaning, I will tell absolutely everyone about what has happened here. If you profess faith in God as your champion, as knowing that Jesus Christ is your mediator, when he goes ahead of you and fights your battles, and you go where he is leading you, the natural step is proclamation, is to proclaim what God has done in your life. We often approach it in the sense of, well, it is weak that I was dealing with this fear. It was weak of me to even find myself in that situation in the first place, rather than changing the perspective and saying, God led me through this. God conquered this for me. And it will really very much give us a different perspective on how we do this and how we approach this. Now, let's talk about the after effect next week. Actually, next week is Easter week, and I'm hoping that we'll be back for on Thursday for a special podcast. Same time, same everything. We're going to take a break from what it means for us to face our fears and be proactive about it, and maybe take a little walk down the world of archaeology and spend some time taking a look at the archaeology of the Passion Week, the archaeology of both some of, and maybe the historical geography of some of the areas around where the Passion narrative took place, from the trial of Jesus to his death and his burial. And so I'll probably next week, being Easter, spend some time in that, and I always love a little dive into archaeology and what that means for us and historical geography as well. So we'll jump at that. But when we return to this topic, the question is saying, okay, how do we handle our fears? Now it's saying, how do we rebuild? You know, we've defeated the giant. What next? Right? And saying, whenever we face trouble, we need to rebuild from the rubble and probably some of that destruction that took place along the way. And we're going to take a look at Nehemiah, a great place for that, where we can really focus on a great story that is all about rebuilding from rubble. And so I'll leave it at that for today, though. It's great sharing every week, and I hope you're enjoying it. As I think we spent 3 weeks on David and Goliath, and I probably could have spent more, but I realize I need to finish up to move on to the next topic in this series as well. So I'm looking forward to next week, Archaeology of Easter, and I'm also looking forward to the week after, where we get to continue along in this series of Facing Our Giants. So take care. Have a great week. And my prayer is that you are proactive, that you will acknowledge that God is going before you, and you will be conquering your giants this week. Take care. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.